Hey, what's going on? It's Botch. Hey, I appreciate you tuning into this episode of the Victory with Botch podcast. And look, like I know it's been a while, but I'm back and I'm hoping, I'm not going to burn myself out and try to say, hey, I'm going to post 5 episodes a week. But like, if I can get 1 or 2 episodes a week and just help you guys out on your journey, like that's the goal. All right. Like I do a lot of Instagram videos and short videos, but like, I really want to talk more about certain topics because there's a lot to say. Like there's more than a 45-second video clip. All right. So in this episode, I talk about why you can't stick to your nutrition plan for more than a couple weeks, because hey, we've all been there, done that. Also talking about just like avoiding fear-mongering videos and just being mindful of curating your social media following and like what you are scrolling through. Because that's really important, especially nowadays more than ever. And I also talk about just accepting that this is a lifestyle change and how important it is to understand that. And if you want to maintain your results and keep it off for life, because weight regain is really frustrating and exhausting. Just accepting that this is a lifestyle change. And I talk about that in the episode. So yeah, thank you so much for being here and enjoy the episode. All right. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to the Victory with Botch podcast. What's up? Hope you're doing well. My name is Botch. If you're returning, hey, what's up? Nice to have you here again. If you're new, hey, what's up? Maybe you found me from Instagram. So it's been a while. It's been a while since I've made a podcast episode, and there's no excuse. I'm not going to come on here and be like, yeah, well, this came up and that came up. Well, really, like, it just wasn't as big as of a priority for me, but now I really want to get back to it. And here's the thing. Like, I could be saying, you know what? Oh, my God, my podcast isn't growing. There's not a lot of people listening to my podcast. But it's not, why is that? Let's take a look. Well, let's see. I haven't uploaded in a while. I haven't been consistent with it. So yeah, I'm not going to see the best results. You know, it's funny. It's like, just like this podcast, I know I relate everything to health and fitness and weight loss and nutrition. But that's exactly it. Like I haven't uploaded a podcast in a while. Does it mean, do I have to like restart my podcast journey? Do I have to like give up and go back to square one? It's like, no, I'm just going to take off where I left off and I'm going to create a new episode and I'm going to talk about a topic that I think people will want to hear about. And today's topic, I want to talk to you about why you can't stick to your plan for more than a few weeks. So let's say you're someone who starts up a healthy diet, you know, healthy eating, you have a goal of weight loss or you have a goal of whatever it is. It doesn't have to be weight loss, but I know a lot of my folks, they focus on weight loss, which is cool. But yeah, you start this thing for a couple weeks, right? And then after a couple weeks, you're like, well, I'm tired of this. And then you end up like stopping altogether. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Why is that? Why does that happen? And usually it's a couple reasons. And honestly, I'll just be straight up. The number one reason why you can't stay consistent for more than a couple weeks is because your plan is not sustainable at all. So what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for failure. You think, okay, I'm starting up this healthy eating plan. I just got to cut out carbs, sugar, all my favorite foods. I got to eat 1,200 calories. I just have to do this for a few months, get the weight off, and I can go back to my old ways. It's like, well, on paper, yeah, that could work, but that's not how it works, right? We're human beings. It's a lot harder to do it in person, right? On paper, it could sound great, but in practice, how are you going to eat 1,200 calories? How are you going to eat no sugar? How are you going to find ingredients with, how are you going to find like food without certain ingredients and then, you know, avoiding certain ingredients and saying to yourself, oh my gosh, like I can't eat these foods. I can't eat that food. Like it's not sustainable at all. And I hear this a lot. People are like, oh, well, this worked for me last time. This diet worked for me last time. It's like, it obviously didn't, you know, because you wouldn't be doing keto 5 times if it worked the other 4 times. The definition of work, I guess, for most people is if you lose weight, but like, that's not the hardest thing. The hardest thing is keeping it off. Of course, it's still hard to lose the initial weight, but from my experience as a nutrition coach and helping people with this, I've noticed like, hey, every person we talk to, usually some sort of background or history we ask them about and they're like, yeah, I did this diet, lost weight and I gained it back. It's like, yeah, so many people have done that. You're not alone in that if you're in that camp of losing weight but then gaining it back. And the reason I say that is because, you know, this stuff is hard, dude. Like, this stuff is not easy to just get down right away. And people want to rush the process, right? They want to rush the process. They want to think to themselves, okay, if I just do this for a couple months, you know, I'll lose the weight and I go back to my old ways like I was talking about. But that's just not how it works. If nothing changes, nothing changes. So you can lose all the weight you want, but if you just go back to your old ways, what do you think is going to happen? Right? And that's why you cannot stick to your plan for more than a couple weeks. And that's why whenever somebody asks me, yo, Vash, what do you think of this diet? What do you think of that diet? Well, let me ask you this. Do you see yourself doing this diet and following this dietary pattern for months on end, maybe a year more, like a couple of years? Like, do you see yourself doing it for that long? And if the answer is no, well, then no, don't do it, right? And usually the answer is no. Like, just to give you an example, I used to be on that keto train a long time ago. But hey, before I knew anything about this stuff, all right? So you're not alone in that if you've been on the keto train, low-carb train, whatever. Like, I thought, like, that was the magical thing. And, like, hey, I saw a bunch of weight loss initially, of course, because I lost a lot of water weight. So I'm like, this is great. I'm going to keep doing this. And, like, my friends, my family were like, wait, like, you mean you can do this, like, for a long time? I'm like, yeah, I can go my whole life eating low carb. Totally. Yeah, I could totally do it. And I'm, like, doing it, right? I'm doing keto for a few months, like, strict. I was really strict with it. And I realized, like, after a while, I was, like, fed up. I was like, I can't go out to eat with my friends. I have to get a salad with no dressing and, like, just lettuce and tomatoes. It's like, what? It's like, oh, I really want a fruit smoothie on a summer day. It's like, nope, can't have that. It's like, oh, I want to go out with my friends. And I think I already said that. But, like, yeah, I want to go out with my friends and be a normal person and socialize. It's like, okay, well, I'll just not be able to order anything off this menu. It's like, I didn't want to be that guy. Like, not saying, like, dietary restrictions or intolerances are bad or anything. Of course, you got, you know, gluten intolerances and stuff like that. Of course, allergies, you gotta be mindful of that. I'm talking, like, I don't have any intolerances, maybe, like, sometimes dairy, but, like, that's it. Like, I'm not intolerant to food, so it's not like I had to be picky. I just told myself, I convinced myself, following these restrictive diets, hey, I can't have those foods. Hey, I can't eat more than 30 carbs. Like, it's crazy because, yes, I could have had more carbs, but I didn't realize that. Like, I convinced myself that I couldn't have more carbs because I'm doing keto and I'm trying to stay in ketosis and all of this BS, right? Like, I believed it. And I honestly say this, like, diets are cults. Like, they are. Like, not all of them, but, like, most of them. Like, you can find a forum, you can find a Facebook page, you can find a Instagram community for certain diets, for any diets out there. Go look it up. You can find it. Like, there's the keto people and there's the carnivore people and there's the paleo people and the caveman and the intermittent fasting people. It's like all of those people will say, my diet's the best. This diet's the best because I lost this much weight. It's like, here's the thing. I'm happy for you. If you lost weight, kept it off and you're feeling better, you're feeling more confident, you're feeling healthier, that's cool. I'm not going to knock you. But, like, you do realize the only reason you lost weight is because you managed your portions and now, you know, you ate fewer calories. That was it. Like, please don't try to sell people something that you have some magical ketone drink that's going to make them lose weight quicker. It's like, that's not how it works. And it's honestly the reason why we have people that do random diets and try different things and sometimes even harmful things like the carnivore diet. Like, that's a wholly, totally different subject and topic for another day. But, like, the longevity, like, the long-term impact eating a whole bunch of high animal fats, like, in your heart, like, it's just not good long term in your blood lipids. Like, they've been doing research on this, and they're saying that, you know, increasing your bad cholesterol, right, your LDL, and, like, increasing your chance of heart disease, doing these crazy diets, some of them, right, not all of them, but, like, it's important to understand, like, it's not easy or it's not flashy to say, oh, balance is key, moderation is key. Of course not. Like, the evidence-based community that I'm a part of, you know, like, we talk about protein and calories and, like, moderation and how there's no good or bad foods, like, that type of thing. Like, I'm really proud to be a part of this community because there is so much deceitful stuff going around with diet culture. Like, for the past five decades or even more. Like, I'm sure diet culture has been a part of people's lives since the 50s, 60s, 70s, right? And every decade is something else. Okay, fat is bad for you. Okay, now fat's great. Okay, carbs are bad for you. Now carbs are good. Or like, you know, they're like flip-flopping. So it's really frustrating and probably confusing for the average person, like, who does not have a background on nutrition. Like, they have no idea. So they're just going off what they see, what they hear in the media, social media. And it sucks because there's people out there that are just going to sell you some BS and tell you, avoid this food, avoid that food. And they're fear-mongering. They're just creating unnecessary fear for something that doesn't even negatively impact your health. Like right now, people are talking about, you know, seed oils and stuff like that. And that frustrates me that people are blaming the obesity epidemic on like one food or one ingredient. I'm like, are you serious? So you're telling me it's not the fact that people are having remote jobs. It's not the fact that people are not moving as much and we drive everywhere, right? And things aren't as accessible on foot. We have bigger cities, so we got to go drive 30 minutes just to get into town to do something, right? To go to work, right? And then we got elevators and we got all these things that, you know, we don't take the stairs as much. We don't have as many activities that are physical activities, right? Like a lot of the stuff nowadays, you know, it's more technology-based. So we got Netflix and we got video games and we got all these things that are really fun to do that don't require a lot of stuff that, you know, we're not moving around as much, right? And then, of course, on the other side of that, the bigger thing is food, hyper-palatable, super delicious food. That stuff is more accessible than ever, right? And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's cheaper. It's in the, you know, it's in the grocery store. It's everywhere. Like, nothing inherently wrong with these foods. They're just higher in calories, lower in nutrients, and they're really easy to overeat on. So as a society, we're going to gravitate towards those foods. Why? Those foods are super delicious. And let's be real here. Leading a healthy lifestyle and eating healthier foods, like, of course, you can still make healthy foods taste amazing, but let's be real. You're not going to make it taste as amazing as some takeout or restaurant or fast food. Like, let's be real. And the reason why is, of course, you know, the fat, the salt, all this stuff that makes food taste delicious. They load it up in calories. And look, it just tastes better that way. Like, why do you think grandma's cooking is so good? It's because they're loading it up with butter, salt, oil. Nothing inherently wrong with these foods. But that's where we're at. Like, that's why we're at with this obesity epidemic. People try to blame it on a certain food or ingredient. I'm like, do you really think that? Like, there's no way. Like, people blame it on high fructose corn syrup or canola oil. I'm like, dude, we did not become like this as a society because of one ingredient, one type of oil. Like, that is crazy that you would think that. It's the combination of we're moving less and we are eating a lot more because it is a lot easier. You can get very cheap calories nowadays. And unfortunately, healthier produce, healthier foods are definitely more expensive. You could still ball on a budget. You already know places like Aldi, Grocery Outlet, and bargain stores. Walmart has some great prices. You could still eat healthier on a budget for sure. But let's be real here. You know, like, you go to the store and it, you know, a pack of Little Debbie snack cakes or whatever, even though I love those, they're going to be a lot cheaper. They're going to be a lot cheaper than, let's say, a bag of grapes or something. And I'm not saying that you, like I said, I'm all about balling on a budget when it comes to eating healthier. You don't have to eat organic and stuff like that. But it's important to understand, hey, you can still eat healthier on a budget. But on the other side, for some people, it's just not feasible to always opt for the healthier option. And then people, you know, kind of criticize them for that. Like, oh, just get the healthier option, get the organic option. I'm like, dude, not everyone has the means to get the organic stuff. Like, these videos, people talking about, oh, just go for organic. It's like, not everyone can do that. If you can and you have expendable income, go for it. That's cool. But like, your reality is not everyone else's reality. All right. So that's kind of what frustrates me. I know I just went on a tangent there. And I know the topic of this episode was why you can't stick to your plan for a couple of weeks. But okay, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to that topic. But yeah, like at the end of the day, ultimately, you need to make a lifestyle change out of all this, or the weight will come back. And I don't say that to discourage you. I don't say that to be frustrating. Like, I don't say that to be a Debbie Downer. I say that to be real, because I've seen it so many times. Friends, family members, followers, a lot of people, they reach out to me and they're like, yo, you know, I kind of fell off the wagon, and I've been falling back into my old ways. And the reason that is because you got to learn something on your journey. You got to change something, right? If not, I said this before a few minutes ago, if nothing changes, well, then nothing changes. You are not going to wake up one day and say to yourself, wow, all of a sudden, I don't struggle with emotional eating, all or nothing mindset, inconsistency, self-sabotage. Wow, all of a sudden, I don't struggle with those things. Like, that's not how it works. You're not going to just wake up like that one day. That'd be cool, right? That'd probably be a miracle, and you probably need to get tested on, or like have an interview or something, because every single person I know who overcomes emotional eating, boredom eating, poor habits with their nutrition and their lifestyle, it's through repetition. It's through putting in the work consistently. Like, I do not know anyone who's like, yeah, one day I just kind of woke up and all my poor habits were gone and I replaced them with healthy ones. My brain just decided to go healthy mode. It's like, I wish that's how it worked, but that's not how it worked. And that is something I wish I did on my journey, my weight loss journey. When I first started out, I was just focusing on weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. Scale needs to go down. Scale needs to go down. But there are all these different signs of progress I was ignoring, right? Like, I was making better choices. I was staying active, but getting my steps in. I was drinking more water. I was feeling more confident. Like, all these things, right, that I ignored because the scale didn't go down. It's like, dude, if you are letting the scale dictate your day, you need to either, number one, put that stuff away, right? Put the scale away for a second and just kind of come back to it. Or a little bit of exposure therapy. You got to face what you're fearing, you know? Like, if you just push everything to the side forever, you're not going to learn to deal with it when it comes up, right? So, you know, some people do that, right? They push it to the side and they don't face it head on, but you kind of have to, right? I mean, you don't have to do anything, but like, if you want to get better at something, you got to do it, right? Like, for me, for example, when I first started losing weight, something that terrified me was eating my favorite foods, right? Like, something that terrified me was having balance and moderation. I know nowadays I preach moderation and balance and flexibility. It wasn't always like that. Like, the reason I preach that stuff is because someone was telling me that stuff when I was losing weight. No one was telling me that. Everyone, you know, I'm not blaming anyone, but like, the stuff I was hearing, the friends I would ask, like, they would say, oh, just eat clean and don't eat those foods are bad, and just eat good foods. I'm like, okay, I'll just do that then, because you're Jack, you obviously know what you're talking about, right? Like, I had a friend, love the guy, like, he was a great help, but he was really jacked. So I'm like, yo, I'm just gonna listen to this dude. But then I realized, like, wait, everything he said, not everything, like, some things had merit, but for the most part, the things this guy was saying, I'm not gonna call any names, but he was saying some stuff that didn't make any sense. Like, he was saying, okay, don't eat carbs at night because you don't need carbs at night because it'll get stored as fat. I'm like, okay, I'll eat salad at night, right? So I had a salad every night. And then if I had some carbs, I would feel bad just based off the information he told me. And I'm like, oh my God, this really jacked guy told me some information. And if I go against it, I'm not going to be like that. Oh no. It's like, I wish I knew back then, like, just because somebody is jacked does not mean they know what they're talking about. And it's hard to kind of get that idea out of our head, but it's like, just because somebody is in shape does not mean what they're saying is in your best interest. I'm sorry. It's just like these intermittent fasting people, these keto people who take their shirt off and walk around in the grocery store saying, hey, don't eat this. This is causing that disease. Or like, don't do this, don't do that. It's like, well, why are we just going to take your advice? Like, just because you have your shirt off and we can see your abs does not mean you're telling the truth. And maybe they could be telling the truth and have their shirt off, but like, how often is that happening? Usually they're creating some sort of fear-mongering BS. So that's another thing I want to talk about. It's just like, be mindful of who you're following, right? If they speak in absolutes, if somebody speaks in absolutes about nutrition, about fitness and health and wellness, that's a red flag, because everyone is different, right? Everyone has different lifestyles. Everyone has different schedules. Everyone has different preferences and dietary restrictions. If you just, if somebody says keto is the best diet ever for everyone and you need to do keto, it's like, okay, hold on. For every person living on Earth right now, are you serious? Like, where is the research to back that up? Like, how can you just confidently say that this diet is the best for all 8 billion people? It's like, that's not how it works. So if somebody speaks in absolutes and they're not willing to change their mind on stuff, or they're not flexible with their approach and they just give everyone the same cookie cutter plan, that's a big red flag I want you guys to be mindful of. So yeah, like, be mindful of who you're following on social media when it comes to health and weight loss and fitness. Like, I know there's a lot of other great accounts out there similar to mine, and like, they do a great job. So if you can get behind that evidence-based sphere, that'd be great. And yeah, like, if someone is just saying something and you're like, that sounds too good to be true, or, you know, I'll get questions like, hey, Vach, I saw this post saying they can lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Is it true? I'm like, well, no, that's not true at all. You know, so stuff like that. Make sure you curate your feed and your feed. If you're on social media like every day and you're using your apps frequently, that means it's even more important to make sure that thing is cleaned up and it's solid, okay? Because what you consume, you know, you're a product of what you consume. If you just consume this content, it might get to you one of these days and you're like, okay, I'll just do this keto stuff. I'll just do this fasting because I keep seeing it. All right. So just be mindful of that. You know, I know we're going everywhere with this episode. But yeah, you know, we can touch up on a few different things. So I know we touched up on why you can't stick to your diet for more than a couple weeks. And give a rundown on that, number one, the reason why you can't stick to your diet for more than a couple weeks is because, number one, you're just viewing it as like a diet, like an actual diet, like a short-term thing. You're viewing it as like a 4-week, 8-week thing. You're telling yourself, all right, let me just lose 10, 20, 30 pounds real quick. Then I can just go back to my old ways and all be good. It's like, that's not how it works. I know the sad truth. It's not a sad truth, but, you know, it should be a happy truth. You've got to keep working out. You got to keep managing your portions. You got to keep being mindful when you're eating, even after you lose the weight. That's how you keep the weight off. Like, that's, there's no secret around it. There's no hack, right? If somebody tells you, here's the secret to this, here's the hack, it's like, there's no hack. You got to continue to be mindful of your portions. You got to be staying active. And if you don't do those things for the rest of your life, you are not going to see the progress you want to see. Now, is it easy to do that? No, of course not. Right. And we know this. It's not easy to manage your portions, especially nowadays. Everything is so delicious and there's DoorDash and Uber Eats at the touch of your, you know, of a button. And then, of course, coming home from a long day, do you want to go on a walk or do you want to kind of watch Netflix and chill out? It's like, nothing wrong with Netflix and chilling out. I love doing that as much as the next guy. But, you know, of course, like, I'll be mindful, like, oh, shoot, I haven't had my steps today. Like, let me watch an episode while I get on the treadmill, or let me get on the treadmill, you know, get some steps, and then I could feel confident, like, hey, I really crushed it today. Like, now I'm going to watch some Netflix because I got my steps in and everything's all good, right? That's important to not, I'm not saying don't give yourself excuses. Like, of course, life happens, something's going to happen. But like, if you don't have your steps one day, or, and you have no valid excuse to not get them, like, you got to be honest with yourself. Like, be honest with yourself. Hey, why didn't I get my steps yesterday? Okay, there was, you know, your kid had a fever. You got to pull them out of school and got to help them. And like, yeah, you're not going to get steps that day. Like, that's just not a thing. Like, you can try to get some here and there, but that's not going to happen. But if it was more of like, well, I didn't really feel like it. And, you know, like, I kind of came home a little later at work and like, I was tired. Like, okay, yeah, you're tired. Like, totally get that. But, you know, if you're at 2,000 steps at the end of the day and you got some goals you want to reach, you want to improve your cardio, you doing something is going to be better than nothing, you know? So just be mindful of that. Just be mindful of your language and how you speak to yourself. Because if you are, let's be honest, if you are constantly finding a reason to not do something, you're going to find it, right? Like, hey, why didn't I get my steps yesterday? Oh, right. I didn't get it because, Ugh, traffic was the worst. So when I got home, I was just like, no way I'm doing it, right? It's like, yes, I get that, right? Traffic sucks and like, you're tired. But if you only get your steps in when you're not tired, or if you only hit the gym when you're not tired, or if you only track your calories when you're feeling up to it, how many days of the week are you going to track your calories? How many days of the week are you going to get your steps in? Like, people are like, Botch, how do you stay motivated? Do you think I'm motivated to wake up in the morning and then go hit a heavy leg day? It's like, no, there's a bunch of other stuff I'd rather be doing. But I know a couple things. Number one, I'm always going to practice what I preach, right? For as long as I can, goodness willing. And second, I'm always going to make sure that I'm feeling good and that I'm leading a healthy lifestyle, because that's important to me, right? It is important to me to stay physically fit and be active and move my body because I feel good, because there was a time in my life where I did not move my body and I didn't feel good, and I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, like, I don't want to feel that way. And I don't miss that at all. And some days, like, I won't get my steps, and like some days, like, I won't move my body and I'm like, oh man, like, I'm not doing this 2 days in a row. Like this is not feel good. Like, after a road trip or whatever, or like just a lazy Sunday, it's like, no, like, that's why I love getting my steps in and feeling good, is because I want to feel good. It's not because, like, I got to burn calories or something. It's like, because I want to feel good. And there's kind of like a hack to feeling good. Just kidding. Not a hack. It's exercise and eating, right? But yeah, no, easier said than done. But yeah, no, that's where this episode is 25 minutes now. So I think I'll stop it here. But to summarize a couple things, number one, the reason why you can't stick to your diet for more than a couple weeks is because it is not sustainable at all, and you are following something that you hate, and you're only doing it just to lose some quick weight, and then you're going to go back to your old ways. So, like, accept that this is a lifestyle change, and get rid of the timeline, right? Get rid of that timeline. Like, I got to lose weight by May. I got to lose weight by June 6th. If I don't lose it by then, you know, I'm a failure. Like, this isn't for me. It's like, why are you putting so much pressure on yourself? Why are you putting such a deadline on yourself? Like, you can lose weight. Like, people are like, oh, but my friend lost 20 pounds. My friend lost 30 pounds and they did it in a few months. It's like, this is why I don't like telling people, like, how quickly to lose weight, like how many pounds. Like, industry standard right now, people are saying 1 to 2 pounds. Like, dude, 0.5 to even 1 pound or 1.5 pounds like a week, that is amazing progress, right? Just because somebody lost weight 20 pounds in a month, that doesn't mean you have to do that, right? That doesn't mean you have to make those same choices. And I mean, to be honest, if they lost weight that quickly, it was really restrictive, all right? The second thing, you know, make sure you're following accounts you actually align with. Make sure you're not following some BS fear-mongering accounts on social media, because what you consume is what you end up being, you know? Like, if you just consume a bunch of BS, like, you don't be surprised if you end up following that advice, right? The FOMO. And then the third thing is, you know, just accept that this is a lifestyle change, and, like, show up even when you're tired. Like, it's hard to do, but if you are only showing up when you want to do it, how often do you think you're going to do it? Like, oh, I'm only going to go to the gym when I'm motivated. Okay, let's say you're motivated on a Sunday. So you're going to hit 4 workouts a month. Like, I don't know. Like, if that's good enough for you, that's fine. But, like, I'm sure if you have some goals you want to reach, it's going to require a little bit more than that, right? Of course, it's better than nothing, but 2-3 times a week would be amazing. Only moving your body, like, purposely once a week, it's not ideal. So yeah, you know, just kind of some tough love there. And hey, I appreciate you listening to this podcast. If you got any benefit from it, if you liked it, I'd appreciate it. Maybe a review or, a review on Spotify or whatever app you're listening on, like, write a little review. It would be much appreciated if you could share it with someone. Maybe they'd benefit from it too. That's all I ask. And yeah, I hope you're crushing it out there. You know, if you have any questions, you need any help with anything, you know, I'm on Instagram, Votch Shakarian. I'll drop it in the show notes. But yeah, appreciate you. And yeah, we'll see you next time.